all of this criticism about Donald Trump's locker room talk comment. And all the liberals were running around saying,
Men don't talk like that.
Men do not. How many more of these stories involving men's athletic teams do we need for people to understand that, yes, men do behave like this in locker rooms?
And they can be good boyfriends, and they can be good people.
I don't know if they're good people. Certainly not.
They can come off as
woke, enlightened, reasonable men who have respect for women don't behave like this. But there's always plenty of jerks around engaging in this sort of thing. So don't let your daughter marry Donald Trump, is what I'm saying. Unless he's got the money. Chipotle.
Chipotle is running out of food.
Well, yes, that's one of the stories. And I will give you the point for that story. Some of their locations are running out of food.
Chipotle has also, we are just past a year of their problems with the norovirus, but their stocks are continually dropping, and they have not seen any sort of recovery. They tried the whole thing from giving kids free meals to introducing chorizo into their meals, and also their program frequent buyer cards. Nothing's worked.
Do you know how much of their value they've lost in the past year?
I want to say like 15%.
Oh, double it.
Ooh, 30.
Keep going.
What? 45?
33% of their value. There was one other.
I got both of those.
I'll give you the point for. Well, you didn't have the number on that, so I can't. I gave you the point for the food shortages. Mm-hmm. Their latest attempt to right the sinking ship is they have one less cook in the kitchen now. Co-CEO Monty Moran has stepped down, so now founder Stephen Ells will be the sole CEO of Chipotle.
Now,
Mr. Ells,
refresh my memory. Who was, during all of this drama happening with Chipotle, was going on cocaine binges in New York City?
I think that was Mr. Ells, wasn't it?
Yes. So he is now.
That's alleged, by the way. Those are alleged cocaine binges. Mr. Ells wasted no time telling shareholders that high employee turnover and bad customer service are the reasons for their continuing problems, particularly in the Northeast. So if you go to Chipotle here, you get a lower quality of service than you do everywhere else in the country.
I actually did eat at Chipotle last weekend.
Why?
For the first time.
Why?
In, I can't even remember.
What did your large intestine do to make you angry?
My boyfriend likes burritos.
Oh, man, you couldn't pay me to eat in that place. I am sorry. Under no circumstances would I ever set foot in a Chipotle again.
I was hungry.
I don't care how. If there is a Chipotle, there is another dining option within 50 yards.
Yeah.
50 yards.
You have a boyfriend that really likes the tacos and the burritos.
Go find a Chili's. Go find yourself an On the Border cafe. Go find yourself a Taco Bell.
Delicious.
Go find yourself an Anna's or a Boloco. There is no shortage of places that will get you a burrito. Good God.
It was out of convenience.
Go to a Qdoba.
I know. Shameful.
I would not go anywhere near Chipotle. I respect the hard work.
I mean, it was good. I can't deny that.
I respect the hard work that my digestive system does. Yeah. Too much.
I have a pretty rock solid stomach.
To allow Chipotle to enter my body. All right. That's a
Yankee Candle.
Yankee Candle has recalled their holiday candles this year.
Yes.
Because the glass may break, posing a laceration hazard.
Yeah,
nothing says happy holidays like lacerations.
And of course, my grandmother is somebody that gives Yankee candles to everybody, so this piqued my interest. They're recalling about 31,000 of its luminous collection candles. They've already received 16 reports of the glass jars breaking. This is a candle that has the three wicks in it, and they were sold just super recent, so of September to November. So if you've done any of your shopping in the past couple months, I know everybody, for those people they can't think to buy for, you've bought a Yankee candle before.
Yeah.
And more than likely you have in the past couple months.
But actually, now you can buy them and give them to people you don't like.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm just picturing the situation this happy holiday season where the Yankee candle cracks and you cut your hand open on it, and then after you stem the bleeding, you go to have a Christmas cookie to cheer up, and you get a piece of Cuisinart blade slicing your mouth open.
It's already bad enough. You lost at the Yankee Swap. You lost the really good gift that you wanted. Yep. You got the candle.
Multiple lacerations. Happy holidays. Fireball.
Fireball whiskey?
Yes.
Fireball whiskey. Did they find gasoline? No, what was it?
No.
Something in it? It's Cure-All?
Nope.
I don't know. I missed this one.
It comes in a box now, just like high-quality wines.
Oh, good.
You can now get
yourself... Because that's what people need.
You can now get yourself a box of Fireball.
Here's the thing, Derek. We've drank many times together. I can hold my liquor. My tolerance has gone down in recent years, and I don't allow myself that much to get drunk anymore just because the recovery process as you age is far more difficult. I don't know what it is in Fireball, and I don't know what's in it. I'm a big whiskey bourbon drinker. Fireball one shot makes me lose my mind. It is not good. Are you a fan of the Fireball?
I've been known to drink it on occasion. Here is the box. They announced this, by the way, by saying, your tailgate party just got real.
Yeah.
And let me say, they know their market.
Real naked.
They know their market pretty well because a lot of people tailgating with the Fireball, especially at this time of year when it's really cold. This box contains, according to the box itself, two 1.75 liter packages. That's
unfortunately, I do know people that probably consume that amount of Fireball.
By the way,
and they wonder why they have heartburn.
For those of you who have trouble visualizing this, 1.75 liter, that's the big jug, kids. Mm-hmm. That's the big jug of booze.
So you have the Carlos Rossi-style jug.
It comes in the three sizes. Fireball. It comes in the three sizes. You know, it comes in the flask. It comes in the 750, which is the size that most people buy. Because that's a sensible amount of alcohol to perhaps recklessly consume. And then there's a jug. This is two jugs in a box.
Not good.
Two jugs, a Fireball, in a box. See you in the hospital. All right, that's all I'm going to say right there.
Yeah.
See you in the hospital. Congress will ban that before the end of next year. I guarantee
you. So that's the new Four Loko of 2017?
Yes. Not only is Congress going to ban that, I predict that after this weekend, the box of Fireball will be outlawed at all of the parking lots and tailgates around the Buffalo Bills football stadium.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I've been known to partake in, during my college years, some alcoholic activities where sometimes during, you know, the sports entrance into the team, tie a box of wine to somebody's back as a camel pack and drinking it. I would not want to see the effects of drinking a box of Fireball.
You do not finish that by yourself.
No. All right. Neonatal abstinence syndrome.
What? Neonatal.
Should I say baby dependency on drugs? That's the proper name of it. So infant dependency on drugs.
So we're talking about the babies who were born hooked on heroin.
Yes.
It's abstinence syndrome. And that was the part that was... I know what neonatal means. I know what syndrome means. Abstinence. I saw something about this, but I didn't read into it. It's on the rise. I know that.
Yeah, so there was a big study that was published a couple days ago in the JAMA Pediatrics. More babies are being born with opiate withdrawal syndromes in rural communities than urban, according to this new study.
That's where the Trump voters are,
this
kids.
This occurs when a fetus is exposed to prescription opiates, which has been rampant, and especially here in Massachusetts, or heroin while in utero and appears to be on the rise in rural areas. So now, just rural babies, cases increased nearly one case for every 1,000 hospital births in 2003 to 2004 to 7.5 cases per 1,000 babies in 2013. So just in 10 years, it went up 7.1%. I mean, that's crazy.
But we're not overprescribing opioids at all.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's 80% higher than the growth rate in previous years.
Next year, by the way,
80%.
Next year, you're going to see a big growth in babies being born addicted to Fireball.
Yeah.
Because you can get two 1.75 liter pouches in a box. Because that's a good idea. Smith & Wesson, you're a crazy gun lady.
Hmm. Well, the guns. They trying to pass something with Washington?
No.
Oh, I missed this.
Really? Surprised. Huh. I thought you'd be up on your gun news.
No, I didn't.
Smith & Wesson will change its name to American Outdoor Brands Corporation on January 1st, following approval by its board of directors.
Really?
Yeah. They're still going to keep the Smith & Wesson name for the guns. So you'll still be able to buy Smith & Wesson guns. But the whole thing, but that's going to now be a subsidiary of American Outdoor Brands Corporation, which up until now has been Smith & Wesson. Changing their stock symbol, they're doing the whole thing. Sort of the last refuge of a scoundrel is changing it. We've talked about this before. Whenever you see a government agency change its name, that's a sign that there is so little public goodwill left for that agency that they have to make it go away and try and start over again. So Smith & Wesson apparently is in the same boat.
Hmm. Whipped cream.
It's good for a lot of things.
It is.
Yeah, you know what's good with whipped cream?
Whippets.
Is a whippets are good, but also a box of Fireball, because you can just put the whipped cream on top of that. Whipped cream recall. No.
No.
There was a whipped cream recall recently. Cool Whip?
Nope.
Involved in this somehow? Whipped cream? No idea.
Aerosol. So, of course, just in time for the holidays, everybody's putting whipped cream on everything. Apparently, there is an industry-wide shortage of canned whipped cream. Another big food story. So, Conagra Brands, it's a Chicago-based food manufacturer that makes Ready Whip. They confirmed Monday that it is the supply of nitrous oxide. Apparently, there was this fatal explosion that happened at one of the factories in Florida. So, there is a nitrous oxide shortage.
Was someone trying to huff directly from the source?
I don't know. So they're saying they should get through the holidays, but they stock up. Is this just a ploy to buy whipped cream?
Well, you could verify whether or not the explosion had happened in Florida, but
I mean, from the news articles that I did read, some of them, there were quotes from people that worked at grocery stores and saying that they weren't getting as many shipments of it. So it's real.
There's no shortage of whipped cream. There's a shortage of Ready Whip.
Aerosol whipped cream.
Yeah. So you know what the thing is, folks? Before you rush out in a buying frenzy,
cool whip.
You can make your own damn whipped cream.
Yeah.
All you need is some cream, some sugar, a little vanilla extract.
And you're good.
And a cold bowl. You pour the cream into the cold bowl, put a little sugar in there, put about a teaspoon of vanilla extract in there, and you take a hand mixer, and you just let it run. And after a couple of minutes, you have delicious whipped cream. Homemade.
Well,
it is the best.
Ready Whip wants you to believe that the world is going to end because nobody is going to be able to do whippage during the holiday to deal with their families.
With much love to the Ready Whip people for all the celebrations that they have helped make a little extra special through the years. They can go get bent and we can make our own whipped cream. Thank you very much. It may not be as heavily aerosolized as their whipped cream. It may not come with that little nitrous oxide kick.
There is something special, though, about eating whipped cream from the can. Into your mouth. Not cut the middleman out.
Canned whipped cream will not find its way into my home. Nor will Cool Whip. Somebody wants whipped cream, I'm whipping the cream.
Oh.
It's that simple.
Fancy.
It's I'm from another era. We didn't have packaged. Well, Cool Whip isn't even whipped cream.
No.
It's like dairy free cream substitute. Yeah. The heartbeat bill.
Governor Kasich in Ohio vetoed the heartbeat bill, so that would put a ban on abortions after 20 weeks.
Yeah, well, he did a couple.
He vetoed the bill.
He vetoed the heartbeat bill.
Yes.
He signed into law the bill that banned abortion after 20 weeks. Ohio is now the 16th state that has adopted that rule, and they're also looking at making that a nationwide rule in Congress. So that's something to keep an eye on as we get into the new year.
All right, last one for you. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, where the wind blows softly through the rain. What? Oklahoma.
This was actually a big story yesterday.
Yesterday, Oklahoma. Fire, flood, devastation.
Mm-mm.
Oklahoma. Electors.
Nope.
Government conspiracy.
Something to do with government. Requiring.
Oklahoma. Missed it.
Oklahoma is trying to sign into law requiring restroom signs in anti-abortion effort. So basically, Oklahoma plans to force hospitals, nursing homes, restaurants, and public schools to post signs inside public restrooms directing pregnant women where to receive services as a part of an effort to reduce abortions in the state. Here's the kicker. Now, businesses and the organizations will have to pay an estimated $2.3 million to put up the signs because the legislator didn't approve any money for them.
Nope.
So government is requiring you to put up a sign, but they're not paying for
unfunded
it.
Mandate. The government can't do that. This will be challenged in the courts and the government will lose. The government wants to print up the signs and tell people they have to post them. That's fine. But the government cannot come in and say, you have to put up this sign and then make you pay for it.
Yeah, the provision for the sign was tucked into a law that legislature passed last year that requires the state to develop informational material for the purpose of achieving an abortion-free society. So, of course, like many bills that go through Washington, there's always something snuck in at the bottom. And this is, you got to put a sign up in all your restrooms.
Nice try, Oklahoma. Hope you like getting sued. Squirrels is the last one for you. Squirrels.
Squirrels.
This is a huge local story. It's actually made national headlines, this story.
Squirrels. Is there an abundant amount of squirrels?
No.
I feel like I read something about squirrels. I'm going to hate when you tell me what.
Have you been down to Boston Common?
Not as of recent, maybe a couple weeks ago.
But you know what Boston Common usually looks like at Christmas time?
Yes.
Where they have all the trees around the edge of the common.
Yes.
Lit up in different
all
colors.
Decorated, of course.
Not the case this year. Squirrels are apparently fond of copper. And they are eating through the lights, the lines on the lights, on the Christmas trees in Boston Common. To deal with this, including the city tree. So trees have been going out. Strings of lights have been going out. So to deal with this, a contractor hired by the city is applying something called Critter Ritter to all of the trees. This is a spray containing hot pepper that is meant to keep the squirrels at bay.
Oh.
These squirrels are eating Christmas.
And I do have to agree with you, what you said last week on the show, and calling out the lazy people for not decorating their house.
Bad lazy people.
It's so sad. Nobody just decorates their house anymore.
It's gotten a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten a little bit better this week.
When I did drive by your house, though, I thought you were talking it up because I only saw your pole was decorated until I turned and then saw all the lights from the other side.
Yeah. How about that snowflake, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That I may have gone overboard with the snowflake. The snowflake lights up the entire neighborhood.
Yeah. Again, Derek and I are neighbors. So
I think it's visible from space.
All the time.
I'm waiting for one of the neighbors to come over and be like, could you turn that off after 10 o'clock? Because the thing is ridiculously bright.
I'm completely over the new trend of the red and green lights that are shadowed onto the house. I hate it. I hate it.
Look, I'm saving
so
this.
It hurts.
Here is a preview of the first show in January, our best of show.
Yeah.
Because I am going to name this as the best hillbilly holiday accessory of 2016.
Wait, not the blow-up inflatable Santa with the gun?
We've had those for a while. Mm-hmm. The blow-up crap is nothing new. This is the most appalling holiday decoration of the last 40 years, okay? You have to go back to the aluminum tree with the color wheel that made it appear to change from yellow to blue to red to green to find something as obnoxious as these freaking Christmas laser lights. If you have it on your home, take it down right now and go sit in the basement in shame until 2017. This is the tackiest piece of garbage to be foisted on the American people in decades. It looks awful. How can you look at your home and not realize that it looks awful? Your neighbors are laughing at you. When you don't get invited to the block party this year, get invited to any of the neighbors' parties this year, it's because you got the freaking laser light on your house. There is some guy over in Stoneham who's got his entire house.
Mm-hmm.
He's got them on all four sides. Not another single light. okay? It looks like Chernobyl. Because you got this dark, drab house with all these glowing lights all over it. And it's like, there is nothing festive about this. It's not Christmas. It's a cheap-ass laser that you should be ashamed to buy. Stores that sell this to you should be ashamed to stock it.
Mm-hmm. There's actually an infomercial for it now.
I hate this product so much. And you know what? You know what one of the things is about this? If you know somebody who's got that inflatable crap all over their lawns, mm-hmm. and those goddamn cheap ass candy canes that they sell at Lowe's for like, you know, 20 of them for $5, mm-hmm. like spread out like it's a fence all over the place, they got one of these freaking laser projectors too.
I actually went to a family party this weekend. Also, another family member lives on that street, and I just held my head in horror, noticing their house was covered in them.
You ruined Christmas. Go home. You ruined Christmas.
Go to your red and green spotted.
Holy cow. Yeah. It. The canes are bad enough. The canes are terrible. But these things, oh my God, it's an affront to the holidays. 855-915-9636. When we come back, the Russians are hacking. The Russians are hacking. But that's not why Hillary lost the election. We'll tell you why right after this on WMFO Medford.
I can say, 'cause I wasn't there. It was yesterday. Statues have their fun. People have their day. And history comes and goes. It's time for us to play. And there's a turkey in the wings. He doesn't dance and he can't sing. One Christmas catalogue, too many. One Christmas catalogue for you. Aeroplanes can fly, ships take to the sea. Maybe you and are you and me. All the nuts and grapes through the mists of time. And even at this point are really quite sublime. And there's a turkey in the wings. He doesn't dance and he can't sing. One Christmas catalogue. Christmas catalog for you.
Most of us have the best of intentions, but sometimes that just isn't enough. It's been a lovely and lively holiday season, and we all had a wonderful time. But it's possible that some of us have shoved things off in a corner, important things, till we get a chance to catch our breath and think a bit. This is Cliff Robertson asking you to think about your Christmas seal letter. Is it over there in that stack of mail you still have to answer? Just remember, emphysema, tuberculosis, respiratory disease, air pollution. These are ugly customers which don't take any holidays. The fight against them has got to go on 365 days of the year. The best weapon in that fight is your answer to your Christmas seal letter. It's a matter of life and breath.
Oh, sh**.
What?
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, sh**. What are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh. Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
WMFO Medford, I'm Lisa Nichols, along with Derek Gary, and we are The Big Picture here with you every Wednesday night. Call into the show at 855-915-9636. So the Obama administration, Hillary Clinton's campaign, big major media, left-wing attack machine, they're all going out, of course, especially this week, to delegitimize, yeah, I can talk, the election of President-elect Donald Trump. So they are claiming through revelations from the CIA that Russian President Vladimir Putin hacked the election with the specific intent of electing their choice, Donald Trump.
This is what the CIA has said.
Yes.
And it's important to point out that this is only what the CIA has said. No matter what anybody else in the media, USA Today, Washington Post, attempts to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a very interesting story in this. Nobody reads Reuters, okay, because Reuters is a news service rather than an actual website. I read Reuters. Smart people read Reuters. People who want to be actually informed and not choke on fake news read Reuters. Reuters made a point the other day of publishing a story pointing out the fact that the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, that is the highest intelligence agency in the United States of America. The highest. Doesn't get any higher than this. This is where the buck stops. They three separate officials from the government, who asked not to be identified because they're not supposed to talk about this stuff, said that the Office of the Director of the National Intelligence does not support the CIA's claim that the Russians hacked to benefit Donald Trump, because they cannot establish, number one, that that was their intent, or number two, that Vladimir Putin in any way directed this or had anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the CIA does some good work. I'm not going to beat up on the CIA too much. Generally speaking, they're better than nothing.
No, of course. And then you need to question, is it politically motivated in the sense of, I mean, you had, you know, one of the leading headlines, what was it, back in September, that it was, quote, I'm the former CIA leader and I back Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So you need to question it. And I mean, if these forces actually think that they could stop Donald Trump and Mike Pence from getting into the office in Washington. I mean, Michael Moore suggested it last week. But even if they fail in preventing a presidency with Trump, they just want to ensure that he is damaged, he is compromised, and illegitimate of serving as president. This is what it's all about. And you are seeing a major lead from all your major news networks pushing this and saying, and then you're seeing it a lot from print media, but they are trying to convince you that Russia's behind all of this. And I'm not saying that they somehow hacked into the voting machines, no, but they influenced us so much by releasing all these WikiLeaks and look into discrepancies inside the DNC that it convinced us not to vote for Hillary Clinton, thus voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, this is what's been alleged. This is what they would have us believe. And, you know, you made a good point in your intro to this, Lisa, which is this really isn't about Russian hacking. I think as far as John McCain is concerned, it is. I'll give John McCain and Chuck Schumer the benefit of the doubt and say that, yes, they're actually concerned about doing sort of the right thing and making sure that something like this doesn't happen again. But what this is about for the people who are pushing this, including John Podesta and the Clinton campaign, who have supported this call from 40 electors who are Hillary Clinton supporters primarily, mm-hmm. to get an intelligence briefing before they cast their electoral ballots on Monday, even though it will impact nothing because they're voting for Hillary Clinton anyway, okay? For these organizations and individuals to suggest that the Russians helped Donald Trump is about delegitimizing his presidency. It is about saying, we didn't lose. Donald Trump stole this with his friends in the Kremlin. And Russia is running the United States. This is all nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a reasonable thinking being, you recognize that a lot of this is just nonsense.
No, and again, and we're not playing one side, because again, if this was switched to the other side where we had all, you know, Hillary Clinton winning and all of these RNC emails hacked, it would be the same exact thing that we would be questioning. It's not just one side or the other.
Correct. Well, it's...
But unfortunately, what you have here, and certainly on full display, was the incompetency, what was going on within the Democratic Party. And the fact that you had Podesta, who should know better, especially being in government, that he is clicking on... And that's what it was. It was phishing. It was, whether you believe it was Cozy Bear or Fancy Bear or any of the Russian hacking groups that supposedly are going to take claim to this, it was phishing. There were clickbaits for Podesta to go on. He put his password in it, and all of a sudden you have 60,000 of his emails revealed.
There is an absolutely magnificent story, a fantastic bit of reporting, albeit with an unfortunate headline on it. Because the headline, and this ran in the New York Times today, it was published over at MSN.com. So anybody can go in and get this. And I encourage everybody to read this article because it is a great read. It is fascinating. And it breaks down everything that happened. It explains precisely how the Clinton campaign and the DNC were hacked. The headline unfortunate as it is how Moscow aimed a perfect weapon at the U.S. election. What this headline should have said, what it should have been written as, is how the Clinton campaign allowed themselves to be hacked. That's what the headline should be. Mm-hmm. Or Clinton campaign incompetence enabled Russian hackers. Something along those lines. Because every step of this article shows another incident where someone in the Clinton campaign doesn't understand the cyber.
As, no, exactly.
As President-elect the Donald likes to call it, the cyber.
Though Democrats are deeply bothered all of a sudden by these new CIA revelations and understanding how they did get hacked or the attempted influence on a presidential election in order to help Trump, they have the right to be upset. But the notion of, you know, having Vladimir Putin, one of the world's leaders that some people agree or disagree with, but to have any, regardless if it was the DNC, the RNC, to have government information hacked into, every American should be angry at. You know, the hacking of U.S. government, though, intelligence agencies, infrastructure, any other segment of the government, this has been going on for years. It's, I think, accelerated in the Obama years, whether we're talking about China, Iran, Russia being one, but there's been no consequences for it. Last year we found out all of the information that pretty much, you know, every single person that working for the government, their information was hacked by China. And even if you weren't working for the government, if you previously worked for it, but what did Obama do? Nothing.
Here's a few of the
Americans should be concerned about.
Well, Americans should be concerned about the fact that people like the senior officials of the Clinton campaign have access to computers. Okay, which is why this headline should be "How Clinton Campaign Enabled Russian Hackers." The story begins talking about an FBI special agent contacting a Mr. Yared Tamane, who is the tech support head of the DNC, and saying, "You've been hacked." Now, the reason the FBI is calling is because if they send email, the Russians have the email. And the Russians know, oh, the FBI is onto us. We have to stop doing this. Mr. Tamane can't verify that it's an actual FBI agent and not a prank caller, so he doesn't escalate this to anybody. And it takes the FBI months to even make contact with anyone at the Clinton campaign, which, by the way, has an office a few blocks away from the FBI headquarters.
Yes.
So that's problem number one. Problem number two, once the Russians have got in and they've got everybody's email addresses, they start sending out these phishing emails, okay? And basically, these emails came out and said, you need to have your password changed, you've been hacked. It's a fake. It looks real, looks like it comes from Google, but it's a fake that's designed to get you to give them your password. So one of these goes to John Podesta, who is the chair of Hillary Clinton's campaign. Mr. Podesta never actually sees this, but somebody who was working for him, one of his aides, sends it up the chain. Charles Delavan, who was an aide to the Clinton campaign, sent an email back saying, quote, this is a legitimate email. John needs to change his password immediately. Mr. Delavan, in a leap...
This is the best part.
In a leap of logic that only a liberal could say with a straight face, comes out and says, oh, that was a typo. I meant to say this is an illegitimate email.
Wait.
If you meant to say, if it was a typo and you were going to say this is an illegitimate email, you would have said an, not a, unless you're illiterate, which I don't think he is. You would not say this is a illegitimate email. And you also, Mr. Delavan, would not have followed that up with the line, John needs to change his password immediately.
Yeah.
So there's a lie.
If there's you didn't have that right last part, then okay, I guess we'll go with it. But
at that point, the Russians have access to all of John Podesta's emails, which they proceed to publish on WikiLeaks. They hacked the Illinois Republican National Committee. Mm-hmm. They may or may not have attacked the Republican National Committee in Washington, D.C. New York Times says, yes, they do. Rance Priebus says, no, they didn't. He said, she said, I don't want to get into it. Let's assume that the Russians hacked everybody in the same way that we are hacking everybody. The Russians are not doing anything that the Americans don't do every single day. Remember all those stories about how we were spying on Angela Merkel's phone and how we were spying on the French government's phones and everybody else's phones? How do you think we do that? Mm-hmm. How do you think we get that access? We hack them.
And
we hack everybody.
You know, the White House is outraged over this alleged...
How dare they
Russian
hack us?
...influence of the election. It's pretty ironic, given that the Obama administration did try to interfere with the Israeli election of Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yes.
And this has been going on since the beginning of time. And I mean, you know, let's go back to 1983 when... Ted Kennedy was trying to run for president, and he sent one of his guys over to Moscow that was meeting with somebody and saying, oh, we'll get you on TV over here if you start messing stuff up with Reagan. Again, it happened in the 1970s. We've been seeing this time and time again. We can't sit here and say, look what they're doing to us. We do it to other people.
But let's set aside the fact that we do this. Let's cut right to the heart of what this story should be about. Let's set aside the fact that we do this. Everybody does this. If you don't believe that everybody does this, you're not living in the real world. Accept that as a beginning fact. Every government hacks every other government constantly. It's why we have intelligence agencies. It is their chief reason for existing these days, is to go hack everybody else's servers and see what you can find out. The Chinese do it, the Russians do it, the Germans do it, the French do it, the English do it, the Americans do it. Anybody who has the capability is doing it. So let's set that aside. Let's set aside the screaming incompetence of both the FBI and the Clinton campaign and their complicitness in this hack. Because the FBI didn't get off their ass and send an agent down to talk to somebody at Clinton campaign headquarters, which would not have been that inconvenient for them to do. The Clinton campaign did not take seriously that they were getting regular phone calls from the FBI saying they had a security breach. And in fact, they're...
And we're talking about a long length of time. We're not talking about this hack that just happened over a couple days. I mean, this is over months.
This went on for months.
And still no information was coming from the FBI into the Clinton campaign.
And Mr. Tamene... said on the record, I didn't return some of the FBI agent's phone calls because I had nothing to say to him.
Mm-hmm.
So the FBI is calling and you're not returning. Great move there, guy. All right. Let's overlook this other idiot who apparently thinks he can lie about a typo, who basically told John Podesta's staffer to go change his email and gave it to the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Let's forget the screaming incompetence when it comes to the Clinton campaign and the cyber, as President-elect the Donald likes to call it. Let's forget WikiLeaks. Let's forget Russia. Let's forget every aspect of this story, except the one that really matters. America got to see what the Hillary Clinton people thought about America behind the scenes. Russia did not write John Podesta's emails. Russia did not tell Donna Brazile to leak town hall meeting and debate questions to Hillary Clinton ahead of those events. Russia did not tell Debbie Wasserman Schultz to collude with the Hillary Clinton campaign to put obstacles in the way of Bernie Sanders. Russia did not do any of those things. Debbie Wasserman Schultz did those things. Donna Brazile did those things. John Podesta did those things. Jennifer Palmieri did those things. There is an endless list of people behaving badly who were exposed. And what is the first rule of news? Don't shoot the messenger. We may not like what Russia did.
Or where it came from.
The Clinton people certainly don't like what Russia did. But you, our listeners, American citizens, should not give two craps about what Russia did.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with putting blame with WikiLeaks and saying that it's anti-American for revealing that. What they did do is they showed us exactly what you just said, the incompetency at work here in the Democratic National Committee.
Russia did not influence the U.S. election. Period. Fact. Russia did not influence the U.S. election. Bad behavior on the part of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Democratic National Committee, John Podesta, and other people in Hillary Clinton's campaign brought to light in front of the American people influenced the election. And how did it influence the election? The Bernie people stayed home and didn't vote for Hillary, and a lot of the Hillary people stayed home and didn't vote for Hillary, which opened the door for Donald Trump to win by a narrow margin. It wouldn't matter if Julian Assange had found this, if the Finns had found this, if Hawaii had found this, if anybody had found this. The Clinton campaign cannot blame the Russians for using their own words against them. There is a very basic rule, a very basic rule in online communication. Never say anything in an email, never say anything in a text that you would not want repeated in front of your grandmother. And time and time again, through hubris, arrogance, that's exactly what people in the Democratic National Committee and the Clinton campaign did. All of this stuff about Russia, this is a smokescreen. This is designed to deflect attention away from a monumental collapse of a political party, from monumental corruption that laid bare how a major American political party favored one candidate over another, even though the American people wanted something else.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know who interfered with your election? Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC. If you're a Bernie Sanders supporter, you know it. You feel it. You're still angry about it. I'm still angry about it. You can't turn around and blame the Russians for that. You blame the Russians for bringing it to light. But the only reason the Russians got in the first place was because the Hillary Clinton campaign was too incompetent to defend itself. So we learned a couple lessons here. Number one, you don't put anything in an email, a text message, anywhere that you would not want repeated in front of your grandmother, in front of your clergyman, or in front of a judge. Never. I encourage the Russians to hack me. Go look through all of my emails and publish them all. Because I will not be embarrassed by anything that I have ever written in an email. I may be embarrassed about my word choice and my emotional state when I wrote some of those things.
Yeah.
Because I've fired off a few over the years that were like, I am cracking up, please help me.
Mm-hmm.
When things got stressful. But there's nothing in there that if my entire internet email history was published tomorrow, I'd be like, yeah, okay, fine. Everybody go search it. Go look at it. You will find it is remarkably consistent with who I am. And that I have nothing in here that I am ashamed or afraid of. Nothing to hide.
But again, you're just an everyday person, knowing that the DNC has more scrutiny put on them, more of a spotlight.
Exactly.
You would possibly maybe be a little more careful.
I am an average.
In understanding, even if just one of those emails did get leaked.
I am an average citizen who knows better than the people who wanted to run the United States of America. And who is better at defending myself from cyber attacks than the people who wanted to run the United States of America. This is not about the Russians. Forget about the Russians. This is about bad behavior by John Podesta, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, other people in the Clinton circle that was brought to light. That's what influenced the election, not the Russians. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is The Big Picture. We're with you until 9 o'clock tonight. And then on the town, Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Letzte Weihnacht hab ich mein Herz dir geschenkt. Du hast mich gekränkt und es weiter verschenkt. Um mich dies Jahr vor Pfützen von Tränen zu schützen, schenk ich mein Herz in Liebesfell, nur noch wie im Speziell. Thank you. Nacht hab ich mein Herz dir geschenkt. Du hast mich gekränkt und es weiter verschenkt. Nun ist es offenbar, was für ein Narr ich war. Küsst ich dich heut erneut, hätt ich es bald bereut. Um mich dies Jahr verpfützen, von Tränen zu schützen, schenk ich mein Herz in Liebesfällen nur noch wem speziell.
Wherever you are now that the holidays are over, in your office or home, or even in beautiful downtown Burbank, did you remember to answer your Christmas seal letter? Hello, I'm Ruth Buzzy. And like most of you, I'm trying to get the house in order again after the hectic holiday season. And I keep finding so many things I forgot to do during the holidays. Did this happen to you? Did it happen to your Christmas seal letter? Is it over there in that stack of mail you're meaning to answer one of these days? Well, emphysema, tuberculosis, and other respiratory diseases, and air pollution, none of these take any holidays. They're still with us and still a serious threat to our health. When you answer your Christmas seal letter, you're joining the fight against these killers and cripplers. It's not too late. Answer your Christmas seal letter right now. It's a matter of life and breath.
Hi, this is James Brown, Soul Brother number one. Always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you. Yes, I'm
gonna be a star. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Medford, this is The Big Picture. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Airey, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week's news. So we are going to be doing our end of the year 2016 goodbye and hello 2017 show. But really fun, Google just today released their annual year in search data. So I bring this up every year because it's fun to look. Specifically, you can look up where your like capital or major town is. So they did it for Boston. Some of the top trending searches for Boston 2016. You'll be happy to know. Number one was Pokemon Go.
Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
Number two is Powerball, then the Olympics, iPhone 7, and Michael Phelps was thrown in there. Top trending news in Boston for 2016, Olympics, election, Brexit, Orlando shooting, Alton Sterling. Top trending people in Boston, Michael Phelps, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Ryan Lochte, and Simone Biles. And this is my favorite, trending near me searches. So to find out where you want to go, three things we learned from Bostonians. We want to know where the nearest Indian restaurant is, apparently. Number two, where is the nearest tattoo shop? Great. And number three, where's the nearest Dunkin' Donuts? Because apparently you can't just look down the street and see four of them right there.
Walk out your door, pick a direction, go, there's Dunkin' Donuts. There's a
top
dunks.
Movies. You got Suicide Squad, Finding Dory, Deadpool, Bad Moms, Revenant. You can look at, if you go to Google, you can find out what the top search is for all of the United States. But just a little look inside the minds of Bostonians.
I'd like to say that I personally helped to put Pokemon Go way up there.
Oh, yeah. I know. You played during the show.
I did a lot of searches on Pokemon Go this year. All right. Here's something fun. I'm not playing this on next week's Christmas battle because it's too short. But somebody wrote an artificial intelligence program, taught it how to write songs, showed it a picture of a Christmas tree, and asked it to write a Christmas carol. This is the result, ladies and gentlemen. This is our horrifying future of computer-created Christmas music. There you go. That's
Christmas. Yeah, that's actually what I try to sound like after, you know, far too many festive cocktails karaoke.
Look for it in one of those musical holiday cards from Hallmark near you.
As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest thing from this week's news. Nebraska. Three Nebraska high school students are facing criminal charges after mixing their semen into frosting that was later spread on a turnover that was consumed by their home economics teacher, reports from cops say. The vile incident occurred Thursday at Westside High School in Omaha and involved a trio of 14-year-old freshmen. According to the police, the suspects excused themselves from the family and consumer science class and went out at various times to the bathroom. Cops alleged that after masturbating into containers, the boys returned to the classroom. The suspects then mixed the mixture into the frosting that they subsequently applied to the turnovers that had been baked in class. Investigators say that the teacher consumed part of the tainted turnover as she went through the classroom and sampled her students' creations.
Not funny, not fun, not cool. Are these guys going to jail for this?
Yep.
That's
juvenile court.
Guess what?
They're facing charges on misdemeanor assault and unspecified school disciplinary measures. I hope you get expelled. You should be tried as an adult. You awful, awful.
Yeah, here's the thing. I would recommend charging these young men as adults and letting them spend a couple months in prison so they can see what it's like to have someone else's semen rubbed on you. That would be a fair punishment. California, according to KCBS-TV in Los Angeles, Micah Zaremba of Riverside was dismayed after three packages were stolen from outside the front door of his home. Zaremba wanted revenge, so he and his best friend brewed up a really stinky idea. Zaremba waited until his wife held a birthday party for their Great Dane and then collected the piles of poop left by the nine dogs in attendance. He neatly packaged the turds and left them in a box on his front porch. A video surveillance camera rolled as a man identified